And I think that's part of the transition humanity must go through now. We must recognize that the selfishness has caused all of this them and us mentality. And if we can come above that to a universal point of view, we can put that to rest and all, individually and collectively, achieve a higher conscious perspective.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from Waikato, I have Roy Harlow. And Roy is the owner-manager of rushfm.co.nz. It is a radio station that has been going for many years now and on the leading edge of change and the shift of consciousness so that we as a humanity can really recognize that this lifetime that we're having is the most important one for us to come together to put a stake in the ground as a global family. And so I want to say, kia ora, welcome, Roy.
Thank you, Tim. It's always good to be on your program.
Roy, well, thank you. Thank you, because at the moment, the whole planet is essentially in psychological turmoil, and this is into the cities and towns, etc., across our planet in so many ways. And we're wanting to be able to get to the truth of a lot of these the challenges that are facing us, and we are, in many ways, we're caught up in a multi-tiered disinformation narrative that's assaulting our planet and people, and that the mainstream media are not really helping us at all. They're not wanting to pull the strings of community together, but keep them somewhat fragmented and dysfunctional. And we need to find ways to allow us to realize that all 7.7 billion of us are sharing the same breath as of this moment.
Well, I think there's a lot in what you just said, but I think the multi-tiered disinformation is the feature that is upsetting everything. That we consider authorities, the government, the schools, the media, to be sources of information. And it's very upsetting when people learn that it's disinformation. And what happens is everybody has to take stock. Well, what do I believe? I think that this is one of the few things I can point to universally that's happened due to the lockdown, and that is everybody's had to take stock about how am I spending my time, what are my priorities, what do I really value. And I think on an individual level, that is a good thing. If it took the lockdown to force everybody to put their phone down and stop and go through that exercise, okay, let's see that as the good for this lockdown. And if it helps everybody to come to the platform of a deeper understanding of themselves and a firmer understanding of their relationship in society, I think that's a good thing.
I definitely agree, because I know that when I started off way back when I woke up, I sort of stripped everything back, so I sort of stood naked on our planet and asked this question: how does a human being live in a planetary realm? And this is where all the big questions come in.
Well, yeah, we all say, what matters to me? For everybody says, well, number one. Well, that quickly gets old. We know that we can take care of ourselves, as we've discussed in the past. You know, taking birth in this country means you have a great opportunity. You're not for want, unless you're foolish about your resources, but using those resources correctly so you make a positive contribution, not only to yourself, but to the whole human society, is really waking up to the selfless side of reality. And we're all trained in the media and the schools to be selfish. And I think that's part of the transition humanity must go through now. We must recognize that the selfishness has caused all of this them and us mentality. And if we can come above that to a universal point of view, we can put that to rest and all, individually and collectively, achieve a higher conscious perspective.
Yes, this is fantastic, Roy, because this is where we need to go. We have to cooperate and work together and find ways to assist not only our family, our neighbourhood and our community, but extend it to our nation at the moment. In New Zealand, from what I can gather, we could be locked down with no, very little air transport to the outer world. So there is an opportunity for us now to cohesively work for the betterment of the whole, which is our country.
Well, I completely agree with that. I think that what we have here is we have a force that is trying to herd us. It's treating us very much like cattle are treated, or lower animal species are treated, where what we require is being rationed or controlled. And what we know and our freedom of movement and our freedom of action and choice is all being controlled. Multitudes of techniques are being involved here. You don't have to have a policeman on the street corner. The people in general will say, hey, stop that, you. That's not accepted here. So we have a trained society, and we have an overviewing force. We have a deep state that's trying to make us less than our potential. And now if we're going to be cut off in that sense, not so much from the rest of the world, but from independence, we have to stop and take a look at, well, if I get my independence back, I'm not going to surrender it again because I now understand its value and I've learned how to use it for a better cause, a better level of understanding.
This is excellent. Yeah, can you take this further? Because once freedoms are given away, it's very difficult to get them back. I know it's important if we do have certain legislation, we have to have a sunset policy and given a specific date where this particular situation ends, and then we have to then enact new legislation to open up the freedoms again. It's important that we make sure that we have this ability to turn things around even at a legislative level, even though I don't particularly want to.
Well, I kind of see it, yes, I see it in verse. The freedoms and the rights are already God-given. This legislation is an artificial attempt to suppress what's actually already ours. It isn't that they're going to be given back. It's we're going to stop the false suppression. The deep state and the bankers and the government and the media that all work together to keep us enslaved, they're trying to make us think we can't change it and that they have changed it. And it's actually the other way around. They can't change it. We have God-given rights. Their legislation, voting 3/4 percentage or just over half or unanimous decision, this voting to say your rights are now gone is an illusion. This is something they're trying to impose upon us. This is the narrative. This is the disinformation narrative root. We have these independences. They can't be taken away only if we succumb.
Right. So the grassroots of this country have to mobilize.
Well, reclaim your rights. It's not that they're taken away. You're just not claiming them. You're being made to think by the disinformation narrative that they have control of the rights and they award them to you and you should be grateful. And we'll take away what we want and we'll return what we choose. And this is not true. The rights are there a long time, many, many centuries older than this government or any of the current governments. This is back to the Magna Carta. This is back to Aristotle. This is all the way back. God-given rights have been recognized by the intelligent men on the planet. And we just have artificial leaders, people who pretend to be leaders, saying, we can take your rights away, we can control you, and we can educate you as we see fit, and we can financially enslave you. And that's what I said a moment ago. They're actually trying to herd run us, operate us, herd control us. And I think if the people will recognize this, they will naturally unify and turn against it. We have, as a species, we're in a position where we've left the level of enjoyment, the level of economic achievement. We're now in the platform of, are we going to survive as a species?
That's true. I mean, this is the dominant thought across society. And so could you please carry on? Because we need to awaken listeners and awaken everybody to take our freedoms back.
Well, I think we have to understand that the media, the politicians, the banks and their policies, the perceived social authorities of our society, when school will start, when it won't, what you can do, your health standards, this, that, the other thing, then there's various foolish or innocent collaborators who believe they're doing the right thing because they believe the narrative, but they're actually supporting a system that's taking away freedoms. Now, each of these categories is guilty of creating the same deception. And what they do is they create their sector or portion of this narrative, and they feed it to the other persons in their other portions so that it looks like it's a very unified, very concise, very exact policy, when actually it's an illusion that's being supported by its own structure. And the policy, the objective, is to make you think their lies are true. Now, we have to recognize, and we do, we know that it's not wrong for you to defend your house, your family, your possessions. It's not wrong, but they try to make it that way. We've seen over the years in New Zealand, a farmer shoots a thief stealing his quad, and the farmer gets in trouble, not the thief. And this type of inequality is being used to try to make us think, oh, we have to surrender our authority and our rights to the so-called authorities of our country. And yet they've proven not to care about us. We've been so many votes and so many subjects and so many issues that we prefer to do it one way, and the government doesn't care. The example is the smacking law. It was voted down by the people. Huge petitions signed all over the country and submitted, and the government went, we don't care, we're going to leave the law the way it is. So this shows us that they've stopped caring about the people's opinion. Why? Because they have an agenda that's averse to our agenda. Our agenda is to survive, to be helpful, to be honest, to be compassionate, to be stewards of the planet, to be upright in our dealings and honest as a standard, teaching our children not to lie. That's what we want. But the government is so much disinformation that children, it's fuzzy in their mind. What is the truth? And when do I lie?
Yes, the waters have been so muddied at the moment that nobody really knows what's right from wrong. And then you have all the different other agendas, the social agendas coming in. And it's like young children. They don't even know if they're male or female or if they're transgender or whatever.
Right. And this is all part of the same narrative. It's all these different pieces. And this is something we have to understand as well, that we have perceived varieties of sources for information when actually they're all one source being distributed through different outlets. So we say, oh, well, I saw it in a magazine. Oh, well, I heard it on the television, and I heard it on a radio station, and somebody said it to me at the cafe, and the guys at work were talking about it. But it's all the same information coming from the same source, just coming out different areas. And so the narrative is being structured in the background by the deep state to give everybody confusion. This is back to divide and conquer.
Yes, this is like, particularly in the English-speaking world, we're a moving target, really, in an unremitting onslaught of global media. And you know, the majority of it coming out of the six main corporations in the US and British BBC carrying on from there to basically flood the Commonwealth with mixed messages. And it's only coming from, shall we say, in that case, seven main corporations.
Yes, that's right. That's right. But we have to look at those seven main corporations that control media. They're similar six banks that control money. They're similar in different areas, the WHO and a few other institutions that are trying to control health. And all of these are just one entity, the deep state.
Thank you.
And their agenda is to control and farm humans. But our agenda is to raise pure, honest, loving children and loving people. And we're not farming anything. We're harvesting our opportunity to become higher conscious beings above the animal conception of selfishness.
Agreed. We have to work together. It's definitely crew of Spaceship Earth. There's no more passengers on Spaceship Earth at the moment. All the crew have to actually get back to their station and start working cohesively again, make sure that our ship of state remains habitable and that the crew can get back to living in harmony with each other and that we can project a high-energy, synergistic, holistic future. That crew can look forward to generations into the future.
Well, we have the situation where the needs of the people are being restricted to the people. The best food, we produce some of the best food in the world and the most nutritious, and we export it. We're eating the seconds and the thirds. We have oil resources offshore, onshore, and yet we're selling that for pittance and buying fuel from other countries at a high price. We're being pushed into the globalist structure where you don't get to buy local. This is Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. You don't get to buy local. You have to buy food from someplace else. Well, why would I want to do that when food is as acclimatized as plants or as people are? Well, the reason they're doing it is they get to clip the ticket on your eating requirement need if they make you buy the food from someplace else. So they're structuring the whole globalist thing to where they benefit from your every need, and they simultaneously have the access and ability to restrict what you get. And we need to wake up to that basic level. We need to go back to food, information, money, health. Bottom line stuff. Food and water. You know, bottom line stuff. Where we need to, and we can. We can redirect resources to sustaining New Zealand. Getting it out of this animal slaughter mentality and bringing it up to a healthy plant-based food method and bringing it up to compassion and natural healing and health for all of our humanity. It's only, as you're saying, it's only re-coordinating with spacious Earth standard. It's not an artificial, it's the natural way.
Agreed. Yes, because I'm finding at the moment you go into a supermarket and you see so many things from overseas, and I know that we can make it here, all the cheeses we can make here. And I know that the Dutch were selling cheese to the English and the English were selling cheese to the Dutch, and it was the same make of cheese, but they were clipping the ticket both ways. And
exactly.
This
causes financial slavery. Neither of those farmers are making what they should make because the deep state's in as the middleman, and they're making a bigger margin than the farmer. And that's happening globally. And all of the farmers, farming families, look how hard it is for a family of farmers to encourage their children to take up farming too. Their attitude is, my God, my parents have worked themselves to the bone, and they still are just getting a living. They're not sitting back. They're not comfortable. They're not able to expand. They're not happy. They're worn out.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I come from the farming sector where once our farm was, you know, 120 acres. Now that's been gobbled up as well as three other farms to make one gigantic farm, and all those different householders and families have left, and there's only one family there, and those kids go to school most probably in the city up in Auckland, and as you say, they see that their parents working to the bone, and they don't want the farm, and so Dad is working. Most New Zealand farmers now are at the age of around about 67 or 68 or even 70 years of age, and they don't know who to sell it off. Meanwhile, the corporate buzzards are floating overhead waiting to take up and gobble up all those farms.
Well, I think it goes even a step further than that, that the corporate-sized farms are all in massive debt, and that they can be easily swallowed by the bankers and actually taken into foreign ownership. And we don't even have overview of our own food production. That's where they're heading with this. We have to kind of extrapolate the situation we see today a few steps forward and see where they're trying to take us. And it's totally a human farming, people farming slavery structure, where we don't have any rights and we don't have any resources. And I think that's where we have to turn. We have to start using our resources for our national family first. Whether it's our fossil fuel, we don't need theirs. We'll refine our own. Our food, we won't sell off the best. We'll sell off what the seconds. We'll let the people have the best. They're making us think, oh, you can only sell the best stuff because they make the best profit off of it. And there's so many things, like Coca-Cola is taking all our water. So many other companies are taking all our resources, and all our logs are going to China. It goes on and on and on and on and on. The people come forward and say, I want to develop a company to do this and help the country. And they try and they give it their heart, but they end up being swallowed by a multinational for their success. Or they end up suppressed by regulatory restrictions that keeps them from really becoming competitive and prosperous. And we have this giant structure where the deep state members, they don't have to have insurance, or they get special treatment. The inspector comes and finds a fault. They don't shut them down. They just say, oh, here's a citation. But the small people, they turn around, oh, you've had a violation, shut you down. You don't have insurance, we have to shut you down. You're not on the safety structure, we shut you down. So the corporates are allowed all sorts of it's okay, and the independent people who are nationalists, who are our brothers and sisters, They're being frustrated in their good intention.
I agree. Any small person who's got a small farm and they want to make some lavender oil, or if they want
cheese.
And they've got to jump through hoops. They haven't got the money. It's only the corporates who've got the money. And they can go to their mates in the bank and say, look, I just want some bridging finance for this particular moment. And they get it at mates' rates, blah, blah, blah.
And so you can see we need to have a reduction, a removal of a whole lot of regulations and legislations which have no meaning in society. They're simply suppression. And that needs to be weeded out. A big portion of this false legislation and regulations need to be removed so that the people aren't handicapped relative to the corporates. And we have that problem that in the justice system, it's the same thing. The corporate gets more consideration than the individual. Well, that's totally backwards.
Yes, well, the corporate farms in this case there, they're putting out so much in the way of pollution. Why aren't they forced to jump through hoops and show that their product is healthy, whereas an organic product, they've got to even jump through bigger hoops?
Because the organic side of things means that you breed health, nutrition, consciousness, evolution, awareness. And they don't want smart, intelligent, educated people. They want followers. They want sheep. They want us to be subservient to their plan. And I think that's what the people have to wake up to now. Their plan is a disaster for us. We have to go back to nature's plan, God's plan, if you will, that man can live peacefully, humbly, and simply, and do good to his neighbor, and can live a pure and pious and God-conscious life. That's where we are naturally situated.
I was with by chance, as things happen, serendipity, I ran into a New Zealand government cabinet minister, and he and I talked, and then again, I ran into him a couple of weeks later, and then he turned around, and after he spoke with me for a wee while, he turned around and said, yes, well, we're farming. New Zealanders are being farmed. That was the word he used.
Mm-hmm.
And so there we go. I mean, it was interesting that for that little moment, he was honest. And said something. So, yes.
I think that's a very good point. The political leaders of this and almost every other country, at least to some degree, they are all following a plan that's dictated from above, from a non-nationalistic platform, the globalist mentality to take over the humans on the planet. And we see these leaders, and they stand there and they can talk convincingly, but they're actually scripted. They're actually following a plan by somebody else. And if they instigate that plan upon their populaces, they get rewarded really well.
Well, this is when we look at the pyramid structure. Everything's coming from the top of the pyramid, and that's how they shape the narrative. And it comes all the way down, and who's holding up the whole bottom of the pyramid? It's the workers, and it's the people, the ordinary persons. But in between the ordinary persons and the top of a pyramid, you've got all these layers that go up, corporates sitting in the middle and the bankers above that.
Collaborators,
yes.
They are collaborating with the guys at the top to dictate to us at the bottom. But in actuality, if you step back from God's point of view, the pyramid's turned upside down. The Lord loves the individual. The Lord loves all of us as his children, as his sons and daughters. The people at the top, they are exploiters, and the Lord has no love for them.
You got it. That's for real, because they haven't got a heart for humanity.
The strength is actually in us, but we've been convinced, oh, you don't have strength. Your faith, your beliefs, your education, your willingness to do good, that's not strength. Oh, yes, it is.
Yes, well, now is the time. New Zealand was once built on cooperatives, mutual insurance societies, trust banks, building societies.
That's right. And now a lot of that needs to be reset up. But the problem is, as you mentioned in the opening here, they've legislated to make those things wrong. So the legislation has to be corrected. It has to be stopped. That we cannot allow them to make laws without our consenting. And that's what happened during the lockdown. This government pushed through, I think it was quoted to me as 15 laws that all gave the government more power over the people and took away rights. And there was no consultation. They were all fast-tracked through. They're rewriting the Constitution to New Zealand right now. So some people know it, but you don't realize you cannot find out what they're writing. There is no draft of what they're trying to do. They are not exposing their objective. This is back to the Democrat stuff in America where they wouldn't allow anybody to know who they were interviewing. They were doing all their interviewing in private or in secret. Well, the same thing's going on in this country. They're trying to create laws and regulatory structures in secret, in private. You and I talked recently about the idea of the Food Safety Act, where it was pushed through without consent of the people. And it's made it a home garden is illegal. To share food that you have produced yourself in the backyard is illegal. They aren't enforcing the law, but it is a law and it is on the books. It's legislated in place for 7 years now. So they can turn that on just like they turned us off in a lockdown. And this means the food chain is under their control and we're threatened. We don't realize it, but we could easily be threatened. Even looking at the lockdown, when the lockdown occurred, the first thing they took control of and the place where they had security guards was at the food distribution centers, grocery stores.
That's right.
So they know that the first thing or any animal is the feed, food and reward, punishment and reward through food. And they know that. It's a basic survival instinct issue. So food and information are two vital pieces they try to control. This is what's in the book 1984. They show you how the information was a key factor in subjugating humanity.
Right. Okay. Well, what we need to do, and one of the big things is that farmers' markets in many cases are all over New Zealand. These are these little, shall we say, oases in the middle of all these little towns and cities across New Zealand. And this is a nodal point for people to be able to come through because there they can talk with people selling their produce. The organic gardeners can come in. The permaculture.
Yes, I agree with you.
And can I just
the issue in my mind is the people who are running farmers' markets need to understand that is a very responsible position as leaders of society. And they must be very active. They must be putting more into it. They're all just sitting there and collecting their display booth fees. And they don't really do anything as a management. And they need to be bringing in more and more and more. I know one farmer's market here in the Waikato that they would only allow food at it. Oh, my God, how stupid is that? We need to have any and every type of domestically made opportunity in the farmer's market. We're not looking to import from China. We're looking to make here. Let our people benefit from the use of our resources to fulfill our needs. Bottom line. And the farmers market people have the opportunity. They have the structure. They have the program. But they're not advertising correctly. They're not open to all sorts of opportunity. They're not open to all sorts of displayers or sellers or whatever. And I think the criteria should be, is it made here?
Yes.
Are you a New Zealand representative? That concept is what should be the limitation, not just food or just crafts or just that and the other thing. Because the markets are becoming stale. It's a group of people that gypsies go from market to market to market to market. And it needs to be the local people being successful because their products are respected. And the farmers market leaders or organizers need to be very diligent in that and very proactive in making people realize buying local sustains local. Stop buying from the globalist franchises.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah, we have to reactivate our farmers' markets. Now, can I just go in there? Because at the farmers' market, they get contact with organic gardeners, the permaculture people, and holistic health, and the many preventive and natural modalities that, I mean, you could come in there and somebody says, well, look, I actually do body work, or I do cranial osteopathy, or I can give you certain massage, etc. But then there are other things you can add to it. There's food cooperatives. Talking about food cooperatives, how can you actually work together and buy together a large...
And grow together.
That's right.
The issue is that we don't have farmers growing for us. We have farmers growing for markets.
overseas in many cases.
Yes.
Yes. And there's a big one, time banks and green dollars. And, I think this is a real huge one because time banking and other community financial methods can be found on livingeconomies.nz. Livingeconomies.nz. You can go up there, you can get cheap, easy computer programs to put in your own time bank and your own green dollars and even your own savings pools.
There. Well, I think you're right there. I mean, you could have a booth at a farmer's market where they're going to do your website for you. If it's domestic, if it's local, if it's helping the local people, why not? We need access to so many things in the modern world. It could be pretty much opened up to bring in domestic farmers, whether you're farming information or you're farming food or you're farming children or you're farming love, it doesn't matter. It can still be a farmer's market concept where we're actually, as you said, meeting the individual that's got the skill base.
That's right. You see, because I think the homeschoolers could actually have a booth there every week as well, every Saturday, because we need to homeschool our children. Now, I come to the conclusion, I've met numerous kids, 18, 19, and then 20s now, who have been homeschooled, and boy, first thing they do, they'll look you in the eye, they'll listen very clearly, and they will respond accordingly. And there'll be a depth in the response. So I think homeschooling is really, really important. You know, men sheds are popping up. They started off in Australia, really, but they're coming to New Zealand too because a lot of elderly couples who go to a retirement village, the female can actually adapt. She's more able to adapt, but a man can't. When he goes in there, a lot of them close down. But if they have a men's shed there, they can have all these tools. They can repair things that maybe have broken down in the retirement village.
Well, I agree with that, but I think more than that is the amount of knowledge they carry. I see these old fellows that go, well, this is the way we used to do it because it's very practical and you can do it yourself. I mean, the old number eight wire and being resourceful with what is available to solve a problem, that mentality is always valuable no matter where you go or who you are. And the gentlemen that are in their retirement homes, they had to live and develop this country with that consciousness, and they did it. And now we have everybody going, oh, I don't care. I don't have to do anything but play with my phone. And so the intelligence and the experience and the creativity that's in the older people cannot be wasted. It must be recycled back. I think that a structure of speeches by older people and training by older people would be a very good use, that they could step forward and be teachers, intelligent men that have skill bases, who knows which one, because you can see older gentlemen who have, I think, of woodworking skills. You go, my goodness, look at the craftsmanship in his work. And that craftsmanship needs to be transplanted. Maybe it'll be applied differently in the next generation or the future generation. But the craftsmanship and the vision of how to approach something from a craftsmanship point of view is everlasting, and it should be handed on.
That's right. And the most important thing is they love their product because it's not being bought out in a factory somewhere in East Asia. They just press a button and it comes out.
That's right. There's pride in their work. There's pride in the product. And when you buy it, you realize, this guy worked hard to make this, and it's beautiful.
That's right, yeah.
And you value it more.
It's too darn right. And then
so we have to come back to that. How can we, as an individual, work cooperatively with other individuals to rekindle human, compassionate society? Because they are exploiting us. They are attacking us. The deep state is attacking us in every imaginable way. Food, water, health, knowledge, money, information, resources, everything. They're attacking our children. They're attacking our teenagers. They're attacking their education. They're attacking the old people. They're attacking humanity in multitudes of ways. And we must form a defense.
That's right. All these new Netflix. You know, Netflix here is the perfect example of how to put a person in society, make them become comatose. And with titillation and God knows what else, we're pushing so much stuff that we're so busy watching it that the deep state are bringing through everything else behind our back because we're distracted. I'm speaking with Roy Harlow of Rush FM, and the website is rushfm.co.nz, rushfm.co.nz.
Well, I saw a storyline for a movie. I think the movie was called Anon, and it said it was a thriller. And it was in the future where technology renders privacy obsolete. Now, these are seeding ideas. This is the narrative seeding its ideas into the minds of the people that we can dissolve of your privacy. We can dissolve your rights. We can dissolve your freedom. We can dissolve your honesty and your compassion. And this is the narrative. Literally, this is the narrative. And this is why we say on Rush FM, Hollywood is dangerous to unprotected or uneducated minds.
It certainly is. I can assure you there. Very much so, because it cunningly and deceitfully twists one's perception of reality all the time. And it desensitizes us to so much.
And there are people, I've spoken with people, young people, that think, I want to go into transhumanism. I want to be uploaded into the cloud. Well, sorry, they have no knowledge of how the reality works. The eternal living entity cannot be uploaded into a cloud. Maybe the conscious memories or information that you have accumulated in this brain, you can put that in a cloud. But you, the living entity, you transmigrate. You can't be put into a cloud. And so the consciousness is different from the bodily memories. And we see that when you die, you lose your memories. And when you come back and take birth, you rebuild on the knowledge that goes with you, not the memories.
Yeah, well, it's soul versus the machine, and where do souls come from? Well, obviously, souls are not made, they're not manufactured, they come from a higher source.
Parcel of the Supreme Lord.
That's right. And
the eternal living entity is a part of the eternal Lord.
That's right.
It's a different substance, just like, you know, water's different from earth. It's a different substance. Spirit is a different substance from matter. And if people can just see that basic fact, life makes a lot of difference. It makes a lot of value change in our perspective.
That's right. We are spiritual beings having an earth experience.
Yes, sir. And yet we're not taught that. We're taught we're a man, a woman, a child, a dog, or whatever, and we grab onto all we can scramble for, and we don't care about the next guy. We just care about me, 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 me. Well, that is not human. That is the struggle, animal struggle, struggle for survival. We are, as humans, we're above that. That's what makes human the rational animal.
Well, it's the anima mundi, the world soul, and that all humans, all animals, and all trees, etc., there is a rudimentary soul or essence behind everything.
Definitely.
And the whole thing is there, that's been scrubbed, and all we are being programmed to be is walking desire bodies or walking consumers to consume the future.
Very well said. I agree completely. And that's what this narrative is doing. It's trying to tell you, you don't have an eternal value. You don't have an eternal occupation. You don't have a higher calling. You don't have any of those things. And by the way, you don't have any rights. And this is the illusion that is being put upon us that the people are seeing through now.
Yes. And we have to find ways to continue this unveiling, Roy, so that let people realize that we are far more than we ever thought possible, but we've been programmed down to be homogenized and as if we're just robotic.
Yes, we're being marginalized unfairly, and they are being set up as the authorities unjustly. And this is what is happening. The people are realizing that their plan is an unjust plan of subjugation. And our natural inclinations and our natural rights are being suppressed, so we won't stand up for ourselves and each other. They're trying to make us think that we're different. They only see the differences. I'm tall, I'm short, I'm black, I'm white, I'm anything you can think of. Anything they can find to show a difference between you and me is brought to the front. When in actuality, no, that's the wrong way. We don't care about those little minor differences. We are one humanity who are servants of God, who love one another and care for one another as a family. We work for a higher cause. We have a higher calling, and we are busy at that, not in feeding this farming mechanism they want.
Right on. Exactly. This is it. Roy, can I move around just a little bit more to add? We need to, with these nodal points, these farmers markets that can be set up and are being set up in all the towns and cities across New Zealand. I mean, women's cooperatives can come in there because there's lots of things that women can do, particularly when it comes from, I mean, knitting. There's all types of knitting machines. You can get a fairly good one that's a mechanical one, but you can... elderly then can sit and they can knit a wonderful, wonderful jersey on.
It's astonishing what these ladies can do. My wife is a member of the Women's Institute of New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
And she's moved away. She's in a regional position already. And yet she found out just yesterday or the day before that the National Committee has made all these decisions and are imposing it now upon all the rest of the branches. And they weren't given vote. They weren't given an opportunity to say. They weren't given to express what their regions needed or what they felt was important to the people now or the ladies of the era. They weren't given that. It was pushed from six people at the top. And she's saying, we don't even know who those six people are. And I said, well, I think that's very easy to understand. It's globalists who have overtaken the Women's Institute, and you need to rip it out of their hands.
This is everywhere. I mean,
is everywhere. This is why it's such an urgent problem.
Yeah. See, what I want to do is I want to see all kids everywhere. All the kids go to Cubs and to Scouts, and the girls go to Brownie and to Guides, so that they can actually learn a whole lot of skills there to work and cooperate together.
Well, I think you hit a nail on the head there, because the Scouts and stuff was created back in the late 40s, 50s, etc., because they already saw the education system was thin in those practical areas. And it's gone on to the point now where that's rare. The people don't even realize the value of those institutions and the importance of that practical level of knowledge given by these types of organizations.
I know, because I'm working away where I do, and I need to use ropes often. And I've got to tie knots, and they're different, so many different knots. If you're tying a load of goods on the back of a trailer, or if you're tying two pieces of rope together to be able to pull somebody out of a beach in this case, well, I need all these skills. And I know that I ask all the other people who I work with, okay, tie a knot. And they said, I don't know. And I said, okay, well, Scouts and Cubs, I learned this.
That's right.
And
that's right. What's a bowline?
Yeah.
What's a butterfly? What's all these different knots? That's a fact. Well, it goes all the way through back to the practicality of the farmers and the people in the rest homes. They all had to know these things, and they all had to improvise, and they all had to use limited resources and achieve wonderful results. And we're living in the environment they created, and it's wonderful.
Yes, I agree. Well, look, I mean, can I just carry on my little list here? In Auckland, at the moment, there are 100 community gardens. They've been able to get land from either churches or within the council. They've been able to find little places. And so you've got so many different people working in these gardens from all sorts of races. And they bring their own sort of seed. They've got the seed. And so we're seeing a vast variety of different food. The recipes that come as well, so that they can cook and prepare this food in such a way, and then they can group around together and they can eat together and share. And as you know, when we're all sitting at the one table, that is when
we all become a family.
Yeah, and the connection happens. Yeah, so, and there's another thing too that's just starting up, and it's Trish Allen from X Rainbow Farm, Permaculture Farm. What's happening is that there are waste minimization groups starting up as well around the country. And what they're doing, and Trish Allen here in Snell's Beach where I am, she's bringing all the people together so that the waste is not going to landfills. The waste can be used, you separate it all properly. She's making lots of compost so that people, when they bring their waste, they can go away with compost. All these things, it's what you call very conscious choices to make sure that what we are doing is going to benefit the environment and benefit the future as well. And I think this is very, very important, because really what's below the waste today is there that we don't want to know about it. We just pull the chain and walk away. And we've got to realize that all waste at any level has to be consciously dealt with, and we close the loop, so to speak, and we dispense of it, or we dispose of it properly.
This is another area where the deep state is cheating us. They're denying natural and organic and the cycle of life in agriculture. And they are saying all this plastic that actually they create and sell to us for profit is dispose of it because they want us to buy another one, a new one. And this movement to stop single-use plastic is a start of a much bigger problem because right now, personally where I live, they're stopping. You can only recycle Category 1 and Category 2, and they're not going to pick up the rest. It's not economical. Well, that's a complete lie. They are not processing it correctly. They're not willing to invest in the plant and equipment required to process any and all of it to useful resources. They're trying to take the easy stuff, get us to separate it for them so they can make large profits. And this is cheating. The responsibility of recycling companies is for just that. Clean the environment, recycle the stuff effectively, cleanly, responsibly. It's not for just them to make money, but that's all they live for.
Well, you see, the wrong people are in the recycling and the refuse and the waste industry.
The wrong people are in the government, they're in the schools, they're in the recycling, they're in all of it.
I know. Well, I caught out the rubbish people the other day. They were putting the rubbish and the recycling into the same truck. And there was demarcation, and they
a lot
lied.
Of the people in New Zealand don't realize they've been fed, that they say you're recycling and you're not. They're taking it to the tip and throwing it in the same hole. They made you think, and they got involved, and they got the money, and they distributed the bins, and la, 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 la. They put the cost on the council, which is our taxpayers, and they didn't do the real thing with it. It's another scam. The people think we're recycling, but if you look deeper, you swim upstream, shall we say, you find, no, they're just profiting on the stuff they want to, and they're just throwing away the rest. Our work wasn't for naught.
Yes, yeah.
This has to stop. I've knocked on quite a few councils' foreheads and bumped on people going, this is not real. You're better off to employ more people in your region to do this recycling responsibly. Get the plant and equipment. I'm currently working with a group of individuals, and we're trying to put together a plant and equipment for recycling all varieties of plastic into fuel and use that fuel in multiple different applications as opposed to buying the fossil fuels from the companies. It's just convenient. But we can produce fuel from plastic. It's a very concentrated form. And if we produce fuel, we can run a generator. We can run a vehicle. We can run a variety of burners and boilers and this and that from our own waste streams. And they're not doing it. They're only doing a little bit, and it's terrible. They're making a lot of money and having us do the work.
Oh, I hear you so clearly because, I mean, I took it right to a recent mayor of a major city here, and I asked him, help me with this. And he wrote back to me 2 weeks later and says, help me, Tim, I'm sinking in it. He says, everywhere I go, I can't get an answer. You see, this is because
the answers are there, and that's the problem. The technology is on this planet for us to save it.
I agree.
We can save the recycling of human waste, of all sorts of plastics and packaging and any of that sort of stuff, household waste. All of that can be reused. We can take care of our agriculture, stop the chemicals and contaminating our water and our land with them all. We can take care of our animal husbandry with compassion. We can take care of our children with real education. Their system is now adverse to humanity. And we have to, as a member of humanity, we have to reconstruct the natural, honest, beneficial methods of sustaining us because their system leads to slavery and destruction. And that's not our goal. That's not our natural inclination.
This is true. I mean, you know, with a child, if a child, you know, 3-year-old's running around, you ask them to pick up something and bring it to you, they'll go and pick it and bring it over to you. And when you say, thank you, you've done so well, they just beam.
Everybody does. Everybody wants to be thanked. Everybody wants to feel useful. And frankly, everybody is. But we're all being put out the pasture and farmed. We're not being engaged and encouraged for what we are and the talents and skills we bring to the table. This is why we can easily see it's all wrong on the base level. And we have to correct that. We have to stop seeing the differences. We have to see our duty as one humanity, as a contributor to the upliftment of the consciousness of man.
It's the education system at the moment. It's a programming system. It's not, no curiosity, no wonder, no asking of questions.
No, I know. It's suppression. It's training people to be suppressed and to personally suppress one's own inner feelings. Anybody who steps up and is a goer and a questioner and an answer, give me why, they give them drugs. They don't realize that they're motivated by the right human inclination to learn and to know and to do and to care. No, no, they give them drugs. There's something wrong with this kid. He won't shut up. He's got all these questions all the time.
And that poor little bright spark.
What yeah, they do the bright ones get the most trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And so what they do is they extinguish his inner candle or her inner candle.
Yes, I agree. I agree. I appreciate that. It's called the Wayseer Manifesto.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a 9-minute long thing. You find it on YouTube. And he's saying, everything they say that is wrong with you, I'm telling you that's what's right with you. And it's really encouraging.
It is. I send that Wayseer Manifesto to so many people. I'll put a link at the bottom of this program.
Wonderful. Yeah, let all the listeners listen to that. It's very heartwarming. It's very real. It's practical. I like it.
Yes, well, again, he just says, get out there and do it. Don't let people close you down. It's like the other day we did an interview on tall poppies in New Zealand. And the tall poppy syndrome cuts you down again. It doesn't allow you to flower.
Mm.
It makes it so difficult.
Well, the tall poppy syndrome was also introduced long ago. There was innovative people all running all over this country, and they couldn't cope. They didn't want them. They started stealing the ideas. They still do it, the Innovation Park stuff. They're still taking all the good men's ideas and making money on them and giving the men next to nothing for it. It's the same mentality. It's still going on. But the idea is nurture the tall poppies.
Yes, I agree. I mean, there was this computer crowd here in New Zealand, and it was called Right Hemisphere. And what they did is that they would get a Boeing 777, and on their big screen computers, they would enlarge it to such a degree that they'd enlarge it in 3D, and then they'd pull the components out and then turn them around 360 degrees, look at all the components from a three-dimensional perspective. The next minute, it's been sold to America solely because the New Zealand government didn't have the vision, the Kiwis didn't have the vision to get in behind these clever people that are here in this country because there are heaps of them.
But yes, there are, and that's another symptom that this is a narrative that's coming down from the top. The government cannot accept these innovative ideas because it's not in the program of the people they're taking orders from.
Yeah.
I've seen it for decades, some men with ideas and resources and intelligence that's to die for, and they get no support over and over and over and over and over. They get no support because it doesn't fit in with the narrative that's being dictated to our political leaders and being impacted upon society as acceptable, so they get neglected. And out of frustration and personal determination, they carry on and they end up outside of New Zealand giving it to somebody else, and we end up one step behind.
Thank you. Thank you. Roy, I want to say thank you so much for the impetus and the oomph of what you're expressing. Can you just leave us with 30 seconds of goodwill, as you usually do?
Well, I think people need to wake up to the tricks that are being pulled upon us. And we need to look to our hearts for what do I feel is right in myself? What do I want done to me to do to others? It's a time for that. It's a time of self-introspection. Everywhere I go, everyone I listen to, every place I feel is a resourceful person, they're all saying the same thing. It's time to look within for the answers, because externally, it's simply rhetoric. It's simply narrative. It's simply somebody else's plan. And we've got to go back to what is our heart's plan? What is God's plan? How do I fit into it? How can I become a positive contributor, a better being, and encourage everyone I meet to be a better being? That's our natural way. We are all uplifted when someone says thank you or well done or man, you did a good job. Everybody enjoys that. Everybody is spurred to do better. And that's not happening. So if we can start on the base level, appreciate the skills and abilities in our brothers and protect everybody's rights. The rights are God-given. They're not man-given. And this is the whole basis of the American Constitution, to be honest, in the Magna Carta and several other significant laws of justice on our planet, all based upon that, the upliftment and the use of man's unique characteristics and qualities for the total overall upliftment of humanity, from individual consciousness to higher consciousness to God consciousness. And there's where we find our home. There's where we find our reality.
Roy, thank you for this empowering and validating interview. Really, really fantastic. I want to say thank you very much again. Thank you, Roy. Catch you soon. That was Roy Harlow from Waikato. He is the owner-manager of rushfm.co.nz.
Yes.
rushfm.co.nz.
That's who I am. That's my contribution, is through my radio station.
Yes.
I'm not growing a giant garden, and I'm not helping the kids, etc., but I am doing a radio station which is trying to be broad spectrum of information for those who want truthful information. All the best, Tim. Thank you.
There we go. Let her rip. This music is from Ray Lynch's Deep Breakfast, Tiny Geometries. Thank you for tuning into this Green Planet radio show. I trust you have derived both enjoyment and insight as we empower ourselves with a greater understanding of the magnificent, multifaceted world that we inhabit. In these coming times of rapid change, it's going to take raw courage and inner resolve. And so I thank you as we all remain both focused yet relaxed as we challenge the status quo and let go of the old as we energetically co-create the new paradigm. Because I can assure you, every one of you are important now. When you go to bed tonight, ready for well-earned rest and sleep, realize that what you think, feel, and do is part of your unfolding destiny. And when we commit to a higher act of goodwill and or community service, Providence also lines up. So that every conversation we have, every email we send, every phone call we make, and every meeting we attend, that we stand in our power and communicate intelligently, warmly, with integrity, knowing that we are actively shaping a collective future that will benefit all our children and grandchildren, as well as that of a larger community. This is Tim Lynch in Auckland from Nuclear Free New Zealand, and mobilizing unity consciousness, wishing you a stupendous week of heartfelt success. I say bye-bye and hari ura.